And now it is time for the Smuckler Report. Ken Smuckler, good morning.
Good morning, Tom, Civil, Jay, Antoine. 7 caucuses, 3 primaries, 2 debates, and 1 Osterizer blender. This is your Smuck Report. Let's start with the elephant no longer in the room, Ben Carson, who has now changed his Facebook status from presidential candidate back to retired neurosurgeon, starting a mad scramble for his votes among the remaining candidates. None more aggressive than Trump, who launched his Orange is the New Black campaign just minutes after Carson left the race. As Bernie Sanders would say, all of the Sholem Benjamin, which roughly translated in Hebrew means, get the smuck out of here. To the debate in Flint, Michigan, just hours before the Republican debate, former GOP standard bearer Mitt Romney attacks Trump for failing to release his taxes. Within minutes, Trump strikes back, saying that when Romney wanted his endorsement in 2012, he could have told Romney to get on his knees, and he would have. So now all I can think about, Sybil, is Omar and Ronaldo in The Wire. Sybil, I don't curse Omar. I weep for him. And then I remember Marco Rubio said Trump had short hands, and you know what that means, Sybil. So now I'm thinking if Romney actually did get on his knees before the Donald, he would be greeted with something more like a McDonald's kitty meal than a Denny's Lumberjack Slam breakfast, if you know what I mean. Then Trump says Romney is a choke artist, which makes me think that Romney may have choked as a candidate for president, but given Trump's hands, Romney probably won't choke on his knees before the Donald. Trump gets the last word in this debate, saying he can guarantee to Marco he has no problem down there. Tom, watching this debate was as uncomfortable as watching a TV ad for an erectile dysfunction pill at your daughter's Sweet 16 party. I swear, Jay, the Republican Party on stage in Flint, Michigan looked more like the Q's at the old Freaknik than it did the party of Lincoln and Reagan. And now, a moment of silence for Nancy Reagan. Okay, on the Democratic debate. Look, the problem with the Democratic debate is that it followed the Republican debate. It was boring. I mean boring like a British periodical drama about an aristocratic family and their domestic servants in the post-Edwardian era on the public broadcasting system. Oh, my God. I mean, the harshest attack Bernie Sanders leveled against Hillary Clinton was for giving a speech on Wall Street that cost $200,000, which, according to the burn, meant it must have been Shakespearean. To be president or not to be president, Bernard? If that is the question, you're going to have to take it harder to Hillary than accusing her of being like the Bard of Avon, an English playwright who, for smuck's sake, died in the early 17th century. Now to semi-super Saturday. First, the Dems. 3 states were up for grabs. Kansas, Nebraska, and Louisiana. Bernie beat Hillary 55-41 in Nebraska and 67-32 in Kansas. Tom, the last time a Jew performed this well in these states, Max Baer, the pride of Omaha, Nebraska, beat Primo Carnero for the 1934 Boxing Heavyweight Championship of the World. It would have been a big night for the burn, but there was one other state in play for the Dems on Saturday night. And for Hillary, laissez les bon temps rouler. HRC rolled through the Big Easy Saturday night like the crew of Rex at Mardi Gras. Hillary won the Bayou State 71-22, again crushing Bernie in the African-American vote, particularly coming out of the parishes of New Orleans and Baton Rouge. So Hillary comes into Saturday with a 200-delegate lead and comes out netting 11 more. On Sunday, Bernie hit the weekend caucus trifecta, winning Maine 64-35, which netted him 8 delegates, leaving HRC, after all was said and done this weekend, netting 3 delegates plus. Her delegate count, with superdelegates included, has now crossed the 1,000 mark, nearly halfway to the 2,383 needed to win. Bernie is at 499. And now to the Republican results. First, to the Kentucky Derby. And down the stretch they come. It's American Pharoah in the lead. Cruz is gaining down the backstretch and fought it to 10-5. It's American Pharoah winning. Cruz second by a nose with Rubio 30 lengths back and Kasich back even further. In the Bluegrass State, Trump repeated his Super Tuesday performance as the stud of the field. But the race in Kentucky showed Trump fading fast in the backstretch. Remember, Tom, less than a week ago, Trump won Tennessee, Kentucky's neighbor to the south, by 13 points. But that was before the KKK earpiece malfunction and the phallic fallout from Flint. A week later, after these two events, Trump only noses Cruz out by 3. Trump also won Louisiana, but the Real Clear Politics average of Bayou State polls just 3 days before the election had Trump actually up by 15 points. Trump ended up winning only by 4 over Ted Cruz. On Saturday night, the networks called the Louisiana primary early for Trump on the basis of a huge lead in the early vote. But as the smoke cleared over Bourbon Street Saturday night, it became clear that late deciders cut sharply into Trump's lead. Maybe it was the phallic fallout. Maybe it was the anti-Trump super PAC now carpet bombing the Donald with attack ads. But there was another event in New Orleans just 24 hours before Election Day that may have been even more damaging to Trump. Trump showed up at an airport rally in New Orleans, and when Black Lives Matter protesters stood up, Trump tried to shout them down. I swear, Sybil, it was like watching Chicago Mayor Richard Daley shouting down Abe Ribicoff on the stage of the 1968 Democratic Convention. Wow. The same Mayor Daley who famously said, policeman isn't there to create disorder. The policeman is there to preserve disorder. While the paler press... While the paler press only sees the impact of African Americans as Hillary Clinton's firewall on Super Tuesday, they have failed to give the Black Lives Matter movement, African American college students who have shown up at Trump rallies over the past week, they have failed to give them the credit they deserve for turning Trump rallies into something looking more like the Munich Beer Hall Putsch of 1923 than anything resembling an American political rally of the 21st century. And note to Donald Trump, when a Google search of the combined terms Nazi rally and violence finds only your name in the first 20 pages, it's probably not a good idea to ask your audience to raise their right hands and take a pledge. What's next, Donald? Lead your supporters in a round of Trump land Uber Olive? One other aspect of Trump's fade in the backstretch of semi-Super Saturday. In contrast to earlier contests, late deciders broke overwhelmingly for Cruz, not Rubio. And we saw the skin flute slump tank Trump's numbers this past weekend. So too did we see it tank Rubio's numbers. A week ago on Super Tuesday, exit polls showed the majority of late deciders, nearly 40% in some states, breaking for Rubio. On Saturday, they broke for Cruz, which only serves to prove the truism of politics that hurts Rubio. When you wrestle with a pig, only two things happen. You get dirty, and the pig likes it. Rubio's numbers did not get over 17% in any state this weekend. So Rubio spent another primary night explaining how third is the new first. I swear, Sybil, Marco is quickly becoming the bad dad Bob of the Republican primary. You remember that cat, Jay, the guy on the phone with the left in the middle of shock and awe saying Saddam is on the run to the infidels? Marco Rubio's campaign is much like Puerto Rico, a territory he won Sunday night, in the middle of nowhere and quickly going bankrupt. On to the caucuses of Maine, where Republicans swapped out their lobster rolls and chowder for a rack of ribs and a side of Texas toast, as Cruz rolled the Maine caucus with nearly 46% of the vote, leaving Trump in the dust at 33. And speaking of dust, on to the Dust Bowl state of Kansas, which played out like a scene from The Wizard of Oz. Cruz, the Texas tornado, coming across the Kansas plain, blows away Donald Trump, the self-styled Professor Marvel, while Marco Rubio melts into a puddle of water like the Wicked Witch of the West. Cruz, 48. Trump, 23. Rubio, 17. Coming out of this weekend, total delegate count, Trump 389, Cruz 302, Rubio 149, Kasich 37, all on their way to the win number, 1237. Look, the only candidate in the field who can change the Trump-Cruz trajectory is Ohio Governor John Kasich, who has placed all his marbles on the winner-take-all state of Ohio on March 15th. If he wins, he stays in. If he loses, he's out. But if he wins Ohio on March 15th, Trump right now is up 18 in Florida, 10 in North Carolina, and 12 in Missouri, all states voting on that day. Before we get there, though, we've got Republican caucuses in Hawaii and Idaho, and Democratic and Republican primaries in Michigan and Mississippi tomorrow. A Democratic debate tomorrow night in Florida, and a Republican debate on Thursday. And that's the Smuck Report, reminding our listeners, as always, that there's a fine line between trickery and chiggity, and where that line is crossed, there will always be Tom Joyner and the TJMS. Look for Marco Rubio to keep clawing at Donald Trump like Cat Williams on Kevin Hart, and look for Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders to keep going at it like Nia Riley and Soulja Boy. Look out.